Good morning, Nashville. It is Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick Frazier along with Connor Newt. No Jake Lyman today, but we also have Parker Kelly. Hey, Parker.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, guys?
So we're here this morning ready to rock and roll. A lot of sports happening. The Titans have some breaking news. How about that yesterday?
Yeah.
Be pretty interesting.
Hard for me to get excited about, but, you know, we'll get into that.
Yeah. We'll get into a lot of things. That, college basketball, national championship is on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, NFL is happening, going on now. But I will say this. Get it out of the way real quick. Go for weekend headlines real fast. The Bahrain Masters, which is the darts, you know, this is the last of the yearly thing here until they get to the Premier League. But Stephen Bunting, Mr. Bulletproof guy, titanium, won on, I think it was yesterday. It was a two-day tournament.
That's the titanium guy?
That is the titanium guy.
That guy's awesome.
So he ended up winning the tournament yesterday, beating Gerwin Price. I think it was like 7-3 or 7-4. But there's that. Just had to get that out the way real quick, and then, you know. That's about it. Nothing odd else on the weird Nick Frazier schedule of sports.
Oh, but rugby's coming up soon, isn't it?
You got that right. Into February, 1st of March.
Oh, yeah.
That would be live in Vegas, week one.
The Ballyhoos are back, baby.
They are. And the Manly Sea Eagles.
Yes. Me and Jake Lyman's team.
Yes.
The Manly Sea Eagles.
It is not a Forest Company without some darts talk. That's sure.
No, this is how I look forward to starting every Saturday morning.
Darts and rugby.
Darts and rugby.
But Connor, dude, how are you, man?
I'm doing well,
I haven't seen you in, like, ages.
Yeah, I know. We survived Snowmageddon.
That's true.
Obviously, we were remote last week, but we're back in person.
Indeed.
Two-thirds of us. Two-fourths.
Yeah, it's two-fourths.
Wallman.
Yeah, Jake Wallman.
I mean, we kind of rotate producers, so. But it's good to be here, man. I mean, lots of sports going on today. You got the NFL playoffs. Second round kicking off today. Got some SEC basketball I'm excited to get into. Cats and Crimson Tide later today. It's a top 10 matchup. I almost said top 5, but it's top 10. Obviously, NFL playoffs tomorrow. Preds in action today over at Bridgestone Arena. I'm going blank on who they're playing, but they are playing.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's going to be a fight night if you're going.
Yeah.
They're going to – last time – at Minnesota, Zach LaRue took out their captain, so it's going to be a fight night. I think they're going to be out for blood for old ZLH. But, I mean, we got lots to talk about. Titans just hired a new GM. We're going to talk about that. Lots of stuff to get to today.
What's your weekend headline, Connor?
You're going to say he lives in my head rent-free, but how about John Calipari?
Yes,
0-4,
please do.
0-4 in SEC play. I have watched every press conference after every single game. And he has said the exact same thing. It's about the process, not the results. These kids aren't machines. There was one he ended it with, and he was like, to our fans, to our coaches, to our players, it is what it is. I don't know. I was like, how are you instilling hope in your fan base when you don't know what you're doing and you're saying, no, it's about the results. Not about the results. It's about the process. It's about growing these kids into the NBA. And I just think, God, I heard that for so long.
You think his idea, his like philosophy is just, obviously it's outdated, but do you think it'll still work at any point in time in college basketball?
No.
You think that ship has sailed?
I think it's done. And I think, obviously me being a Kentucky fan, it's so weird to me to see the stark difference between he's doing the same thing over at Arkansas, obviously not working. Then you got this new system here in Kentucky, Mark Pope bringing in college guys that want to play college ball, some NBA talent, of course, in recruiting. But as of right now, I don't think there's a single NBA player on this Kentucky roster, but he is winning.
Arkansas roster.
No, Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Okay. Arkansas, I mean, they've got talent. Boogie Flan will go to the NBA, but I think that's about it. But he's just – Calipari's just going to do the same thing. One and done, grab guys that'll, you know, play 1 year and develop into NBA players and then co-play in the league, and then you got to start all over from square one. Mark Pope is doing this thing where he's utilizing the transfer portal, grabbing recruits that will be NBA talent but are willing to stick around and develop into the best possible player they can be in college. So gone are the days of the Kentucky NBA factory. That's Arkansas now, apparently. But I just think it's funny. He talks all this. We're the gold standard. I'm the gold standard system. And he's 0-4 in conference play. Probably about to be 0-5 because they play at Missouri today, which is not an easy game. But I had to get my Calipari shade out of the way this morning.
They got a big win over Florida this week. Missouri.
Missouri, yes. Yeah,
yeah, on the road.
We were watching that.
On the road.
We were watching that today. Yeah. I mean, we got some good SEC basketball today. Obviously, Kentucky and Alabama. Locally, Vanderbilt hosting the Vols.
I will be in attendance.
He will be there. I'm sure a lot of people will be there. I'm starting to say that it might be all orange, but Vanderbilt basketball is kind of on the rise right now. So
might be back.
Might be back. I mean, they haven't had an ideal start to SEC play. I think that's just a testament to how deep this league really is. This is the best SEC we've ever seen. I told you the other day, Mississippi State. That's a ball club right there. That's a team.
Chris Jans has got himself a tough squad.
Oh, yeah.
They play like...
I just hope it'll, you know, sustain over time. I just don't want it to turn into like a 1 to 2 year process, then kind of like a Calipari thing where you have to reset after a while, but we'll see.
Josh Hubbard has been there. This is his second year, right?
I believe so.
He's a ball player. They've got some shooters on that team, too. I think the state of Mississippi right now in basketball is so deep because Ole Miss is really good, too.
And they just beat Bama.
They just beat Bama.
On the road.
Which scares me because I don't want to pissed off Bama coming into Rupp Arena. But the state of Mississippi is so – for a football state, it is deep basketball-wise this year. And that's – I mean, that's exciting if you're an Ole Miss or a Mississippi State fan. They play today, too, I think. In basketball.
Yeah, everybody should be playing. So I put out a tweet last week. I think, according to Joe Lenardi, as of last Saturday, 13 SEC teams were projected to make March Madness. I think the number has gone down since to 11. But still, even getting 11 out of 16,
that's
wild.
70% of your entire conference gets in.
That'd be nuts.
That'd be
By the way, Mississippi State does play Ole Miss today.
Yeah.
So it's
the Egg Bowl basketball version.
The Egg Bowl.
It is. 5 o'clock. So that'll be fun to watch.
That'll be a fun one. I'll be watching that. But yeah, I mean, I had to get the SEC hoops out of the way. That's the lifeblood of the Connor Newt sports fandom.
And we'll get more into that, right?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. Get a little behind the curtain.
There is no iron curtain on this show. We tell you how it is.
Bingo.
No softballs.
No softballs. No.
Unrelated. Read anything good lately? Any books? Any summer playlists?
No, nothing that comes to mind. But I will say, I think a few books that you know, would be recommended. There's one over your shoulder right there.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, please don't hit that mailbox.
I love Joe Dubin. He's my favorite author.
Read all of his books so far. So, I mean,
really?
They're great. They're phenomenal. As for Parker Kelly, who's joining us, do you have a weekend headline?
Well, I'll just go with what we were talking about before we got on the air. The Dodgers sign another player from Japan. Roki Sasaki, I hope I'm saying that correct. And Japan is just pumping him out, right? I mean, the Dodgers now have who's the guy? I can't pronounce his name. Who is the guy they got last
Yamamoto.
Year, the pitcher? Yes.
Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Yorishibo Yamamoto. Mm-hmm.
And to pair that with Shohei, going to be a dangerous squad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going to be a dangerous squad once again. So
they have, I believe, 4 players from the WBC from Team Japan, including, I think, Tommy Edmond was on Team Japan. Is that right?
No, he was Canada.
Lars Nootbaar. Excuse me. Yeah, so only 3 of those players from Team Japan.
Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah.
Edmond was Canada.
I think South Korea.
Oh.
Yeah. I think. I could be wrong. I have to go back.
Wildly different countries.
Oh, I'm thinking of Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill.
Canada.
All these Cardinals, they mix together.
Yeah.
Former Cardinals.
You know, give credit to the scouting department there. But, yeah, that is an interesting look for sure. It just makes me wonder how the Dodgers are going to pay all these players after a while. But this deferred money is probably going into, like, 2050. Right?
I've been wondering that for a while, but there's no salary cap in the MLB, so I don't know how it works. But
it's just deferred money. They're just going to keep backlogging it.
It's going to be like the Mets. What's the day they have? Who are they still paying?
It's from like the 80s.
Willie? Willie, who are they still paying?
Hey, we need TD up in here.
It's a whole holiday up in New York.
Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla Day. That's right.
They're still paying him from the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. Until 2035.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
But, yeah, it's a good headline there. Love that. You know, we're going to get more into Titans talk, obviously. You know, obviously they've signed Mike Borgonzi as their new general manager. They've come to an agreement. Yesterday when the news broke, I was listening to Jared's show, and I was like, yeah, this doesn't sound right. Like, they agreed, they didn't agree.
It was like they agreed, but, like, we haven't offered him a contract yet, but in principle we're going to hire him, but then also not in principle. It was a whole thing. That's why part of why I can't get too excited about it. And the other reason is Chad the Viper Brinker.
The Viper?
Yeah, I've coined him as the Viper. He's the one pulling the strings. I mean, Borgonzi on paper, I think, we'll get more into this in the next segment, but I think on paper he's a great hire.
Yeah.
But I'm going into it thinking he's the assistant GM, because your president of football operations knows everything. That AI model is telling him all the strings to pull. So get ready to learn Cam Ward, buddy.
Just press the enter button on the keyboard and you're going to get your answers.
Yeah, you got that. Press Y to draft horrible quarterback.
So the initial tweet I saw from Schefter said that they began negotiations about a contract. And I'm like, why don't you just wait to announce the news? It sounded like Schefter was hearing different things from other sources, and he just wanted to get something out there.
We are negotiating.
So that's what it sounded like.
He has part of a plan. A process, a concepts of a plan.
Concepts.
I have concepts of a plan.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of concepts, I mean, if Chad Brinker's concept doesn't pan out, if you had an idea or a question, here's our question of the day. If you had to give a piece of advice to the new Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, what's that one piece of advice? Call or text 615-737.
Wrong answers only?
Yeah, wrong answers only, or right answers, either or. Call or text 615-737-1025. Again, if you had one piece of advice for new Titans GM, Mike Borgonzi, what's that piece of advice? Let us know.
Yay. Great question.
Thank you.
That's a great question.
Thank you. And we'll get more into that on the other side. You're listening to Forest Company, sponsored by LPL Financial, Nashville, and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so you can enjoy today. We'll get into more Titans talk on the other side right here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And we're back here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Nick Frazier here alongside Connor Newton and Parker Kelly on Forest Company. Connor, we kind of prefaced it a little bit before the break. Titans, new general manager, Mike Borgonzi. Going to talk a little bit more about that. You've kind of coined the name for Chad Brinker is the Viper.
The Viper.
And I really want to ask, like, will Borgonzi be able to do his job?
That's why I can't get too excited about this hire. Like I said last segment, I think it's a great hire on paper. But there are just so many factors that go into this job. You're not the general manager. There's the C word, collaboration. Sorry, I said it. You're part of a four-man team running this operation. Brinker, Borgonzi, Amy Adams, Callahan. Those are the four. Everyone pitches in to make the decision when really you look at every other team around the NFL, they got one guy doing it. This is why I don't understand it. I went into this whole GM search as soon as they announced Brinker is heading a search for a general manager. I was like, yeah, that means Brinker is pulling all the strings.
Yeah,
Brinker's calling the shots. So, I mean, are they going to hire a president of radio operations next and the voice of the Titans has to report to him and then he reports to Chad Brinker, who is – apparently Lex Luthor. I don't know. It's just Borgonzi, I think, on paper is the home run hire.
Yeah.
That's the big fish. You reeled him in. He's now in your small pond. I mean, looking at his resume, he's been with the Chiefs since 2009, kind of worked his way up to the assistant GM role, and now has come over here. He played a big part in assembling some Super Bowl teams. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Titans fans are excited about that coming over here. But I don't think he's going to be able to work as effectively here as he was in Kansas City just simply because of who he's working with.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I feel like it's going to be some time, obviously, and that's something Titans fans probably don't want to hear, but are probably accepting that fact now because this team definitely needs a little bit of time to recoup from everything. And I want to read something that Chad Brinker said yesterday, kind of help with the conversation. But, quote, during our meetings, he articulated a clear plan to build champ. This is Mike talking about Borgonzi, by the way. Clear a plan to build championship standards in Nashville through consistency, discipline, and hard work. I've admired him for many years, and I'm thrilled to add him to the team and our general manager. So,
sounds like an AI-generated comment.
Bingo. That's where I was going towards that, is that it was so vanilla with that comment. Obviously, it's you got to check off the boxes. It seems Chad Brinker is just checking off boxes to just get what he wants.
I think he's – I mean, this. I'm not trying to get Stillman on you and give you this giant conspiracy, but I think this is part of his plan.
Hmm.
I think he's got kind of his – what's the word I'm looking for? His fall guy. I think Borgonzi might be the fall guy. And I'm not trying to get on this major conspiracy theory, but
right.
Based on the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised. And the text line seems to agree with me. I mean, 2883 on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, watch out for Brinker to stab you in the back and take credit for what you do. I mean, did he not just do that with Rand Carthon?
Yeah. And unfortunately, this is going to be a continuing cycle. Now, this has a chance to blow up in Brinker's face for sure. But if the Titans get off to a very slow start, as in like 1-4 or maybe 1-5, something around that ballpark of a number, I mentioned it before when we were at Bridgestone. I think the next person out would be Brian Callahan.
Yep.
It's going to be the same situation. 100%.
100%.
It's going to be like Ken Whisenhunt days when, you know, you didn't perform real well the first season. Following season doesn't really pan out well for you. Unfortunately, somebody's got to go, and it's not going to be Borgonzi.
So let's say we get to the trade deadline next year.
Okay.
Callahan is 2-6.
Oh, he's already gone by then.
Canned?
Yeah, he's gone, I'd say, at 2-4, 2-5.
Oh, wow.
I think 2-5, he's gone.
Yeah.
So I talked about this with TD earlier this week on Talking with TD. Brian Callahan's the sacrificial lamb here.
Oh, yeah.
He has a year. In the statements that Jim White has put out on TennesseeTitans.com, Amy Adams Strunk has talked about it. Chad Brinker's talked about it. Burke Nihil's talked about it. That clearly Cali didn't do good enough last year, but nobody did. This year, he's going to be held to a higher standard. If there's not winning right away, then Cali's getting canned. And
oh, yeah.
That's not necessarily fair to him. It is an unfair league. That kind of ties into the NFL draft discussion between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Cam Ward has the higher ceiling, but he's more of a long-term project. Shedeur Sanders is ready right now.
And they don't need a project.
Exactly.
There's
if the Titans draft Cam Ward, Cali's going to need to be guaranteed more than a year.
Yeah. I mean, this is unrelated to the GM hire, but are we all on the same page? Titans need to trade down.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I mean,
100%.
I understand if you think Shedeur or Cam Ward is your guy, you go get it. But I think you can get more value. We talked about this last week with my proposed plan. I think you can get more value for flipping it down. But that's besides the point. This is about the GM.
Real quick, before we go back to the GM, you make a good point about trading back and it relating to Brian Callahan. I mentioned before on this show, and especially I'd say 3-4 weeks ago, if the Titans were to pick a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward or any other quarterback they value as the number one overall pick, at that point, I wouldn't say guilty by association, but pick by association, that would be considered Brian Callahan's quarterback. That's his guy.
Yeah.
He went after that guy. He's like, no, that's my quarterback future. That's going to help me build around this system that I want to build with this team.
Well, you could also pin that on Borgonzi. If they make a pick and it's, let's say they go Shedeur Sanders at 1.
Yeah.
That's, I think in my mind, that would be Borgonzi trying to make a splash.
I don't know. Again, the word collaboration, don't want to use it. But I think it does come down to a mix of everybody. But I would put more of it on the shoulders of Brian Callahan because he has more to prove in the second season as a head coach. And obviously everybody's like, well, yeah, I took the job because Will Levis. I could do something with Will Levis.
Yeah.
Obviously wasn't able to do that. So if you go after a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward, I would put more stress on the shoulders of Brian Callahan, in my opinion.
Mm.
That's just how I look at it. And to that point, too, is if they end up trading back, if they end up getting more picks in return, that takes less stress off of Brian Callahan and more stress on Borgonzi and or Chad Brinker. This is how it could all come back up into Brinker's face.
Yeah.
As if they end up drafting and the drafting is not going well at all, that's on your operations guy. That's your Mr. Press Y to get bad draft picks. That's your guy that's going to get canned.
Just think Chad Brinker is going to go full Madden on these. Can I get a 5th and a 6 for number one overall? The AI model says yes. I don't know. Gunner on our text line. I want full disclosure. I started this.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone to know that I started this, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Gunner says, I wonder if Brinker hit Ran with an F5 when he fired him. The day
yes.
Chad Brinker took over, in quotes, what did I tell you in Jake Lyman?
Looks like Brock Lesnar.
He looks like Brock Lesnar. I want it known. You can go look at my Twitter. I want it known. I said it first. Chad Brinker looks like Brock Lesnar on drugs. But
that's fair.
It is fair. Should we change his name to The Beast now just because I think so?
Yeah, that's more appropriate.
This isn't
yeah.
a G-rated program.
Oh,
it's G-rated. It's for everybody.
It's for
the kids love wrestling.
Kids
don't
love
they,
wrestling.
Connor?
And hopefully not drugs. But
no, they definitely don't. But no, you're right. I think Chad Brinker obviously does deserve a renaming of sorts, a nickname, and I think The Beast is perfect.
The Beast.
That's perfect.
But it's like an ironic.
So I have a scenario for you guys. So 2 years ago, the Texans traded to get 2 picks in the top 3. They got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. 2 premium draft positions in football that changed the course of the franchise. What if the Titans were able to trade back to get 2 picks in the top 5, let's say, get a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward paired with an Abdul Carter. Same format, mimic a same philosophy. What would y'all think about that?
If they got a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders
paired with an Abdul Carter.
That's not going to happen.
Abdul Carter, I believe, is the number one player on Mel Kiper's big board.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
I think that's such an outlier of a situation. You're talking about the Texans, right? A couple of years ago.
Yeah, with Stroud.
Now, I don't know what teams are in negotiations or who wants the number one pick.
The thing with this draft is I don't think there's many players like that Bryce Young, Will Anderson draft that move the needle for teams to be like, yeah, we're selling everything to go up there. If you remember, that was the draft where, you know, Carolina sold their souls to Chicago to get Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a player in this draft that is like that. Travis Hunter is considered a generational talent. I don't see many teams saying, we will give you everything we have to get that guy on our team. Because I think Travis Hunter's selling point to the NFL is he plays both sides in college. Is he going to do that in the NFL? Not much. I think they plug him in at corner and maybe have a special package for him on offense every once in a while. But there's just not that it guy. Abdul Carter is a dude.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a guy I would take at one. I wouldn't sell my soul to get him if I'm the Giants or Raiders or someone. I think that's such an outlier of a scenario. I can't see that happening in Tennessee.
I'm just saying, like, the Texans literally went from having the 2nd overall pick to drafting both of those players, and then suddenly they were in the playoffs 2 straight years in a row. They even won a playoff game last year. That's so much better than where they were.
Yeah, but they made moves after that to be contenders.
Correct.
In the AFC South.
And I'm not saying that two players like that are just going to completely flip the Titans on their head, but, like, it helps.
They're foundational pieces.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
But the Texans, I mean, you look at their system. That system is vastly a front office situation, I should say. That situation is vastly, vastly improved from the one here in Nashville.
Oh, most definitely.
So, I mean, let's put our thinking caps on in Nashville.
Let me get my computer open, make sure my
All 5 of you.
Yep.
Brinker, Amy, Callahan, Borgonzi, and ChatGPT.
AI model.
AI model.
I love it. I love it. I mean, if they do actually use some form of like a AI model to draft players, I would love to just be behind the scenes.
Well, they're on the verge of curing cancer, it appears, thanks to Chad.
To the Beast.
To the Beast.
The Viper Beast. The Beast.
I hope the Beast carries over across programs.
It should.
I hope it does.
And let Connor Newt get credit for that, please.
Please. I hope Viper. You take that with you weekdays 9 to 11.
There you go.
I want that coined. The Beast.
I will. And, you know, we're going to get more into the Titans. You know, we mentioned a little bit about the draft. And if, like Parker mentioned, good idea, if there's a ideal scenario for the Titans to get two picks in the top five, which or top 10, which I still think is a little bit out there. But there's a pipe dream scenario, I think. There just might be. We can get into more of that on the other side. How about that?
Let's do that.
You know what else we can listen to today? Today on 93.3 Totally Hits, Totally Nashville.
Oh, yes.
Our beloved Blue Raiders,
oh, yes.
Former alumni here. You can listen today. MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Western Kentucky at the Murphy Center. Tip-off is at 6 p.m. You can hear pregame beginning at 5:30. Also, coverage will be available on Totally Hits Nashville app and totallyhitsnashville.com. Listen here to Force Company for more Titans talk on the other side. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You hear the music. Connor Newt.
From Minneapolis, Minnesota, weighing at 280 pounds, the Beast, Chad Brinker.
Incredible. That was incredible.
It's my dream to be a
ring announcer.
Ring announcer one day. I want to do it so bad.
I see it in your future. That works. Please save that. That will be an intro to something one day.
Oh, really it's good. Saved. I'm saving that. Yeah.
Chad the Beast Brinker.
I don't know where he's actually from. I just know Brock is from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I hope he's not 285 because that's kind of scary. But
twins. Long lost twins.
Twins.
That'd be crazy.
The Beast.
So before the break, I mentioned that there might be a pipe scenario for the Titans, a pipe dream scenario for the Titans to, you know, make this Houston Texans-like idea of getting two picks in the top 10. I mean, the only thing that would come to mind, if they were to trade out of one, I think you would have to see, I don't know if you can get two picks in the top 10, but I think you can get multiple picks in return.
Yeah, I don't think you can get
I think you can keep one in the top five.
I think in my ideal situation, you would trade down, preferably with a team that has a top five pick, get their pick this year, then get their first round next year.
Bingo.
So you would have, ideally, you would have two first rounders next year.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's in the top five, I don't know. Depends on how much you suck. But
I believe earlier, if it was this week or last week, I was listening, I believe it was TD that mentioned this. You know, if there was a team out there to trade with the Titans for a certain scenario, if the Titans were to trade back, and I agree with them 100%, the New York Giants, because they need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
As for the Titans, they don't really, in my opinion, need a quarterback. I feel like they need more.
They need a quarterback.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, like, hindsight right now. I feel like they don't need a quarterback in this year's draft. If they do,
no,
it later.
You.
I think they need a, obviously, edge rusher. And if they were to go for Abdul Carter, I think you got to get him before four. Because Mike Vrabel, I would not hesitate for that guy to draft Abdul Carter at four if he drops.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you can get a quarterback in the second round, and there's one guy in particular I'm looking at that I think is a Bo Nix situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's not looked at enough, but
I think I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about?
I think
Jackson Dart?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's been rising ever since the bowl game.
If you can get that guy in the second round, how comfortable would you be? If you take, let's say, Abdul Carter in the first round, get to 33, and take Jackson Dart, I would feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, it all depends on if you were to trade back with the Giants, because then, I guess, in that return for that pick, number one of one, you would get their third overall. Maybe, obviously, a first next year. Then what else are you getting out of that? Are you trying to get a second or a third? Like what?
I would replenish your third this year. You don't have one.
So then you would take Jackson Dart with the first pick in the second round? You'd be okay with that?
Yeah, if he falls. I think he'll now they're gassing him up like he might be a top 10 pick.
Right.
That stock's been rising and rising ever since that bowl game.
We've had two quarterbacks previously that have had that happen to them.
Yeah.
Remember Malik Willis?
Yeah.
Everybody said, oh, he's going to be a top pick. He dropped late into the NFL draft that year.
I'm just
Will Levis. Like, even the Titans tried to trade up for him, and they didn't get him as a first-round pick.
I saw the Malik Willis situation.
So are y'all just against, like, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? Like, do you believe that they'll be good quarterbacks in the NFL?
My only issue with that, Parker, if you look at Colorado this past season – and I'm not solely basing it off of – and I think Jake Lyman's only giving me flack about this, about the sacks, of that being, I think, a quarterback stat, not a lineman stat or something. Yeah. It might have been – I don't know whoever it was. But he was sacked 42 times this past season. Mm-hmm. If you go look at Will Levis and Mason Rudolph and that joint, I guess, joint option at quarterback, it was roughly in that same ballpark of a number, a little bit more. So what makes you think behind this offensive line – Shedeur Sanders is going to have – well, obviously he'll have a little bit better production. But at the same time, I even mentioned it to Jake a few weeks ago. If you're okay with going 7-9 and missing the playoffs and having something to look forward to the following season, have at it. I don't want that. I want a full-on start from the ground up, and I don't want to start with a quarterback.
I'm with you.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my rebuttal. So going back to the stats – I agree that it's not – it is a quarterback stat kind of, but it's not necessarily all Shedeur's fault. Like,
no.
Right.
Their
right.
offensive line was terrible. Well, he was the most sacked quarterback in FBS last year. He was the top five most sacked quarterback this year.
Right.
The thing with Shedeur is he's used to playing behind terrible offensive lines, so I don't think that would faze him coming to the Titans. Now, Shedeur, there were – most certainly times he held on to the ball too long, and that's something that he's going to have to develop at when he gets to the league. But he's the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And the most foundational piece, if you're trying to rebuild a team, is the quarterback. You got to solidify that first.
I stand with Chase on this. Chase says, you know, if you're going to take Shedeur, you have to be 110% certain. I'm fine if you take Shedeur. I really am. But you have to be 100% bought in and certain that
I'm bought in on both Sanders and Ward. Like, I have not wavered off of that. I'm bought in.
I'm more bought in on Sanders than I am Ward. I think Ward's more.
Ward's just going to need – if you draft Cam Ward, you're going to need a bridge quarterback.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But let him sit for a year.
I think there's too many elements of Will Levis in Cam Ward's game.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Cam Ward is not as athletic as Shedeur. Shedeur can get outside the pocket more. Cam Ward's more of a pocket passer, and I think he tends to make some poor decisions that lead to, you know, the back-breaking turnovers we're used to seeing with Will Levis. So
that's fair.
Why not change up the game a little bit if you're going to go quarterback and go Shedeur, who, I mean, is, as Parker said, probably the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good thing we're not making this decision.
Yeah. My only issue with the Shedeur Sanders talk is – obviously, this is the easy not easy answer, but the easy conversation piece. Take out Travis Hunter out of that equation with Shedeur Sanders at Colorado. Sure, he's probably going to have not the best stats, like in comparison to what he had, you know, already.
Yeah.
But also, if you add on to that as well, he's going to have to really recreate that chemistry if he were to be drafted to the Titans with Calvin Ridley, if NWI is, you know, going to come back. I mean, he's going to have to build chemistry. Obviously, that's with every rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
but if the Titans are wanting that. That, like, oh, this is our foundational piece for the future. We got to make sure that, like he was saying, you're either 100% or you're not. And I don't think I wouldn't say general manager because we don't know what the guy's about yet, but I don't think, now this is off assumption, you have a president of football operations in Chad Brinker, and then you have Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan, those three guys. I don't know if they're all in on Brian Callahan. I don't know anything behind the scenes, but that's my assumption. You bring in a new name and a new face. And he all of a sudden is all on the same page with you guys about getting Shedeur Sanders. I think there's going to have to be some conversations behind the scenes. And look at Shedeur Sanders, I'm not sold on getting a quarterback of one of one. I think there's a lot of real estate for the Titans to go and trade back with another team. Because if you want to set your franchise up for success in the future, You build through the draft. You look at the Detroit Lions. You look at the LA Rams, who are in the playoffs.
Oh, man, they draft so well.
They drafted phenomenal. They had a bunch of third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks, and they turned them into phenomenal players. I mean, those guys that have been drafted to the Rams, they've played a huge asset of a piece into their playoff run.
Well, you saw those reports that supposedly Chad Brinker didn't want Callahan back. Supposedly. And the people that I've talked to, the thought is around the building that the front office loves Cam Ward. I'm sure you've seen on Twitter that he's the favorite to go number one. But Cali likes Shadur. So there's already a little bit of button heads.
See, I don't know anything behind the scenes at all, but what you just said there, that clarifies my case earlier. You have three names in your top heads of Callahan, Brinker, and Borgonzi. It doesn't seem like anybody's on the right page right now.
I know a few things. I can't tell you those, but I can tell you I wouldn't buy into the Cam Ward smoke.
Yeah.
For the Titans, at least. Based on what I've been told and what I've heard from numerous sources inside the organization, I wouldn't buy into the Cam Ward
smoke. I want to know y'all sources, man. I don't got no sources. All I got's a source start on my TV where it changed channel source.
HDMI2.
That's my source. That's what I got.
That's my favorite source.
And also to that point, too, about the quarterback hype of what y'all are talking about, I think to me that's more of a smoke for, you know, trading back. If the Titans are not talking about it, that, in my opinion, would be off the beaten path. That's what might happen. So, I don't know. There are three different scenarios out there. We'll have to see. But we need to get to something more important. It's time for Newt's Notes on the Other Side. Stay tuned here to Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey. You hear the music. Connor Newt, it's time for Newt's Notes here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Hey, make sure to tune into the game today for Vandy men's basketball. The Commodores take on Tennessee at Memorial Gym at 2:30 with tip-off and pregame show starting at 2. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and 102.5thegamenashville.com. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase your tickets. 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Forest Company. Nick Frazier alongside Connor Newton, Parker Kelly. It's time for Newt's Notes. Get on with it, Connor. Let's hear it.
Okay, so I get on here a lot and rant about sports fandoms. Thank you. Did you guys know I'm now a published author?
I did not.
I present to you the Newt Handbook of Sports Fandom. If you're watching the stream, there it is.
Where's my tea?
I know. So I will read to you the rules and ways to go in the world of sports fandom. Number one, thou shalt not have more than one favorite team. You get one. Everyone knows this. That's my number one pet peeve across sports. Now I go into a bit more detail with the next one. In the event of having, quote, multiple teams, you must have a reason. Example, family connections, religious, childhood experiences, etc. The secondary team cannot overlap the primary team. For example, as you can see, I am wearing all blue. It has always been Go Cats in my family. But I do like me some Ole Miss Rebels due to my family connections. Do I let the Rebels overlap the Wildcats? Absolutely not. But you're allowed to like them. Turn that down. In number three, in the world of college sports, your team must be constant throughout all sports. For example, Alabama football and Kentucky basketball fans are worthy of execution. Now, I'm not threatening death on anyone, but...
All right, Brian Kelly.
You're not allowed. It's not permitted. Duke basketball and Dallas Cowboy fans are not permitted in this world. Number four, random college apparel is allowed as long as it is not a rival or conference opponent. College football 25 program representation is encouraged. So for I have my Ducks hat because I am Coach Newt and I coach the Oregon Ducks. It is allowed. Now if I were to show up in, you know, a Louisville hat, first off, you'd never catch me doing that. I may actually throw myself off a bridge if I did that, but yeah. It's encouraged. If you wanted to come in, Nick Frazier, and wear a Notre Dame Fighting Irish shirt, it would be permitted.
Thank you.
Because you are a Catholic individual, as am I. And it's Go Irish this Monday.
It's fair.
Ditching a fandom is banned. Should one ditch their fan base for another, they should never be considered a real fan and should be exiled from the country.
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah.
That is serious.
It's self-explanatory, fellas. If I am a Kentucky fan and I decide, you know what, it's great to be a Tennessee Volunteer, kick me out of this country immediately. Send me to Greenland. I don't want to be around anymore.
I'd accept you.
Nah. You're breaking the laws here. When attending a sporting event, you must stay the entire game barring an emergency. Money should never be thrown away. That's another thing I cannot stand is when you go to a game and my team's losing, I'm going to leave. Inappropriate. You're throwing money away. What if there was a child in Africa that really wanted to come to Titans and Colts at Nissan Stadium?
In the rain.
In the rain. In 40-degree rain. To watch Will Levis play quarterback in front of 2,000 fans.
Literally wiping away your tears with $100 bills.
Just shame on you. Never yell at a person for cheering and showing support. If you do, you are subject to old man yells at cloud status.
A.K.A. Joe Rexra?
Yes. That's a thing at Rupp Arena. The season ticket holders, they're all of an elder audience. They do not like it when you stand up and cheer because they think this is an opera and you're supposed to sit down and be quiet and watch everyone. It's a golf match to them.
And clap every once in a while.
Yes. You can silent clap. As the music behind me suggests, you may snap. But that, get rowdy. You're allowed to get electric. In a place like Rupp Arena, we encourage it. In Memorial Gym, it's encouraged. As is booing every foul, apparently. Which I have noticed is a thing that happens at Memorial. But that's just what happens. Admiration of specific players should never switch your fandom. Remain loyal now. Oh, remain loyal no matter the roster. So if I am, let's say, I love LeBron James. I'm going to be a Laker fan because I love LeBron James, even though I live in Nashville, Tennessee. Banned. Execution.
Question.
Answer.
I did that for Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning's the only athlete I'd ever do that for.
So you became a Colts fan for Peyton Manning? Or a Broncos fan?
So I've been a Titans fan my whole life, but when Peyton Manning was on the Colts, I did like the Colts. When he was on the Broncos, I liked the Broncos.
That's fine. As long as it doesn't overlap your fandom.
When he was on the Colts, did that overlapped?
Mm.
See, that's tough.
That's a tough
but
one.
Peyton Manning, again, like my favorite athlete of all time. Yeah. So
I think it'd slide.
I think it was also a lot younger. I mean, I was a child when he was on the Colts. What was that?
And then he went to the Broncos in 2013. I was 12.
I liked him when he was on the Broncos, and I'm a Kentucky fan. So I'll let that one slide.
Okay.
The Supreme Court rules it is okay. Rivalries are to be treated with respect and not a personal matter. After the game ends, rivals should shake hands and wish each other well later down the line. This will happen next Saturday between Parker Kelly and I when the Vols and the Wildcats meet. It's going to be beef all week.
Twitter beef will be legendary.
Yeah, we're going to
Cats by 90.
Cats by 90. Sorry. Something in the air today.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's that cold air. It's just getting to my.
We're on Tennessee Sports Talk Radio.
On Tennessee Radio? Are you kidding me? And finally, allow a fan to grieve after a tough loss. Bad things happen to good people. If I want to miss work the next day because the Cats just got embarrassed on national television, damn it, I should be allowed to do that. I hope Chase is listening. Because damn it, I should be allowed to grieve. Bad things happen to good people, and I'm a good person.
Indeed,
I think.
You are. You are.
Most of the time. But yeah, I'm going to send this to the New York Times. They are going to publish this. This will become a bestseller by the time I'm done with it.
You need to write all this down, man. This is incredible.
It's all written down.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Get you a cover and everything.
Well, I got a cover. See?
Oh, just it's stick.
In,
I love
it's in Sanskrit cursive.
So an interesting thought was brought up by Curtis on our live chat over here. He said, what if you, then this would apply to me as well, what if you grew up a Braves fan, but then Nashville happens to get an MLB team? What happens then?
So that would be Article 9. No, I'm just kidding. My dad, for example, obviously grew up in the 80s. So he was a Bears guy, and then the Titans came here. Overtime, he slowly, gradually shifted towards the Titans. So if you want to do that, that's fine. I think that's – you could make an exception. Terry on our text line says you shouldn't work for a radio in a state and cheer for another state team. Not on Tennessee radio, buddy. No Vols fans allowed on Vanderbilt flagship radio at all.
Zero.
Zero.
One right here, baby.
Banned, apparently.
Connor Newton, I will say, this is quite a in-depth analysis of your sports book of fandom.
Well, it was inspired by a certain someone across the street who I learned is a Indiana basketball fan and a Notre Dame football fan.
Oh.
Which is a double no-no.
Buck.
That is a big no-no.
Yeah. Not okay.
It's a flat tire no-no.
Flat tire. I mean, that's a keister in your car. Wait, what? That is a...
It's a flat tire no-no is what it is.
Flat tire. I don't know what I was trying to say.
Connor, man, appreciate the – what was the proper name for it? The Newts?
It is the Newt Handbook of Sports Fandom.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's what you have here for Newt's Notes today.
I'll quote tweet this. Maybe I'll be on a random Georgia news article didn't tell me I was.
That's ridiculous. I remember you sent that in there. I was like, are you kidding me?
For context, I put out a list months ago of the top SEC arena environments. And a random Georgia Bulldogs fan site, I guess, they used my tweet, didn't ask me, didn't tell me anything, and just put me on there.
Do you think they would do that, though? They won't ask you.
No. They're
just going to use it. Bulletin board material.
Yeah, it's bulletin board. Well, I had them high. It was literally like...
Top three, right?
Number two.
Yeah.
I think it was
if they're not one, you're a hater. So that's basically what it is.
Well, the whole article, the premise was the national media is low on Sanford Stadium. I had them at number two behind Tiger Stadium, which is LSU. So they're like, Nashville radio host has Sanford Stadium super high. And I didn't hear anything about it. I wasn't contacted. I demand money. I'm just kidding. I don't actually care. But it would have been nice to...
Demand recognition.
I got recognized. Like, they plugged my handle and everything. It was cool, but like... I would like to know that I'm actually out there because I didn't find out till like 6 months later when my friend was like, hey, did you know that you are on local Athens reports or whatever?
You know what you should do? Go down to Athens, Georgia. Go to a local morning breakfast spot.
Raise hell.
No, just see if you get a free breakfast out of it. That's what I would do.
Can I be on the wall?
And sign your name?
And sign my name?
Yeah.
It's like the Golden Hall. I'll take a red jacket, please.
On the next edition of Newt's Notes, on the road edition. Exactly.
I really should have brought you guys some tea.
You should have. I was wondering.
With that music.
Where was my tea?
That's on you.
Yeah, it's all good. That's on me.
I'll bring pancakes next time.
Oh, yes. Please.
We're going to get more into college basketball and fandoms and so forth in the next hour here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.